You guys can follow me at Texans Doc. I'm pretty excited about this draft season and especially excited about the offseason as the Deshaun Watson market appears to be heating up. So give me a follow and make sure you're following the Texans wire. Mark, how are you doing this week?
Yeah, doing great. Doing much better. The weather is a lot nicer. You don't have to deal with the snow and everything. So it's doing great this week. You can follow me on Twitter at The Real Mark Lane. And we will be joined shortly by Aaron Wilson from the Pro Football Network. Can't wait to get some of his insights on the latest happenings with the Houston Texans. But just going around the NFL to start out, John, the Indianapolis Colts, they trade Carson Wentz to Washington. What do you make of that deal?
I cannot believe that the Commanders, I'm gonna have to get used to saying that. I can't believe Washington made that trade. I mean, it looks like they essentially sent the same package that the Colts sent a year ago, but just a little bit worse. Instead of 2 seconds, with a second that could become a one, they sent 2/3 with a three that could become a two. They also let Indianapolis move from 47 to 40. I was stunned. I don't think it makes a lot of sense from Washington. It doesn't push them. I mean, maybe it mildly elevates them into the playoff picture in the NFC, but they're far from Super Bowl contenders. I saw one sports book that lowered their odds now that we know their ceiling's capped at Carson Wentz. And then for Indianapolis, now they can go out and find a higher variance quarterback with a potentially higher ceiling. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they moved into the back of the first round and were also signed a veteran like a Marcus Mariota or a Jameis Winston. They have plenty of cap space too. Washington ate the whole deal. What'd you think about it?
Well, I don't want to see that where Indianapolis gets Marcus Mariota because I need Mariota to come to the Bayou City and be the glass jaw that Davis Mills beats out in training camp. Also, if that happens, he can still provide some red zone utility. So Marcus Mariota doesn't need to go to Indianapolis.
Preach, Mark.
So I don't want to see that. I thought that for the Colts, it was a, I mean, it was almost like flipping a house. I mean, that was great value that they got out of that in being able to salvage the Carson Wentz trade. And like you said, now they're in a position where they can creep into the first round, creep back into the first round. It's not a quarterback heavy draft, so you might be able to pick someone up like a Matt Corral, or if you want to believe in Sam Howell, you've got options. Maybe you're not scared by Kenny Pickett's hand size, and you can go after Kenny Pickett. It presents them an opportunity to get a franchise quarterback, albeit they've got to start at a lower floor than other teams have in the past 5 years with franchise quarterbacks, but at least that they can have someone on a rookie contract while Jonathan Taylor's on a rookie contract, and they can go out and compete and get into the playoffs. So I thought that the Colts definitely were winners with this. With Washington, it just feels like another desperation move. Like they can't figure out how to solve the quarterback position since they let Kirk Cousins go in the 2018 offseason. It just seems like another grasping of straws on their part. And, this relates more so to, the multiverse of sports writing, the other Mark Lane from Earth 214. But it's kind of bad when all it takes for a team to be guaranteed to win a division is for just their quarterback to be healthy. But that's the NFC. It's just a quarterbackless division. But with now Indianapolis, it looks like they could add another young signal caller to really the young guns of the AFC South.
Yeah. I mean, for Washington, I really love employing, I call it the say it out loud theorem. And if you say out loud, Carson Wentz just had a poor season, with an all-pro running back, one of the best offensive lines in the league, and the head coach that drafted and believed in him, that's not a guy you want to go out and pay a premium for. And it looks like that's what Washington did. I think anyone else around the league would tell you that move seems destined to fail. And you know what? Maybe they are the ones that figure out Carson Wentz, but it really just is a head scratcher because you're right. If Dak Prescott's healthy, they're not winning that division. And then to bring this back to a Houston perspective, it's kind of disappointing for the AFC South because seemingly for Houston, everyone had a pretty capped ceiling. Tannehill is holding back the Titans. He's on a big deal. Carson Wentz was holding back Indianapolis. He was on not a friendly deal. And then Jacksonville, historically, always is Jacksonville. So it really does elevate the potential ceiling of Indianapolis to build around that nucleus with a signal caller that doesn't need to be carried but could potentially carry them. And I mean, even if they do get a trailer more than a tractor, you mentioned a guy like Kenny Pickett, who I could now see falling with. He doesn't really seem like a Seattle quarterback. I don't think the Panthers are taking him at 6, and now Washington wouldn't take him at 11. Kenny Pickett could be perfect to go play in the dome. You don't have to worry about hand size. He's the most pro-ready guy in the draft. He can make almost every throw. I'm a little more scared about Indianapolis than I was one day ago at this time.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you bring up. So you get 8 games in a dome. You get another game when you play Houston, so that's 9. You also get Jacksonville. It's variable. Sometimes you get the rain, but we'll say you get them. Oh, wait, the Colts never win in Jacksonville. What am I talking about? But yeah, you're looking at 10 games in a dome with Kenny Pickett if you're the Colts, so who cares about hand size?
Mm-hmm. And I haven't looked at the draft value chart, but I am curious what – I think they now have 2 third-round picks in addition to pick 40 – and then they have draft capital next year. They have everything post-Wentz trade. I wonder how high they'd have to move up. What do you think it would cost to go like 40 to 20?
I think it would take your first and a second to do that. Maybe both seconds. Like I said, I would have to reference that draft value chart that everybody's got around. Draft Tech, they've got it. That you can easily find it. And here at the NFL Wires, as we get closer to the draft, the great Coley Cleary will make a draft value chart for every team. And so we'll have that posted when we get it available, probably, like I said, closer to the draft. By the way, he does a great job with graphics. 2 years ago, I had him make the meme of SpongeBob and Patrick running out in the yard in front of Squidward's, and Squidward's just staring at him from his bedroom window, all ticked off, and it said Texans Wire underneath. Because I thought that was perfect for the 2020 draft for Houston.
Yeah, we don't talk about the 2020 draft or the 2021 draft. It's a new year, though.
Yeah, and that's what kills me when I see these mock drafts where they have Houston taking Evan Neal or Ekum Ekwonu. I would have to be disappointed if I were a Houston fan and they go with a tackle at number 3 overall. I mean, to me, it really is looking like Kyle Hamilton or bust in terms of an impact player at number 3 overall that gets you the best value because you're really trying to get an all-pro. And I don't know that Kayvon Thibodeau specifically would blossom into that. And I don't know that you have a chance at Aiden Hutchinson.
What's really scary is I'm seeing a lot of this week that Hutchinson is starting to be mocked to Jacksonville pretty consistently ever since – I think they franchise tagged Cam Robinson this week, which puts him at $16 million for the year. And you have to imagine he's all but locked into one of the 2 tackle spots. If Jacksonville takes Aiden Hutchinson at 1, most people are saying that Detroit would probably take Kyle Hamilton, and then Houston is in a really bad spot because I think the elite prospects at that point, I probably want Okongwu from NC State just because I've read that he could move into one of the guard spots or he could take over tackle once Tunsil was traded. But regardless, he's the most versatile prospect. But I don't think that's where the value is needed on this team, but the draft would kind of dictate that's where they have to go. And like you said, Thibodeau is now being mocked. He's not even in the top five. I'm seeing him a lot at 8 to Atlanta or 9 to Seattle. I do hope Kyle Hamilton makes it to Houston's pick.
I've seen one mock draft. I think it was Daniel Jeremiah might have done it combine week. And Kyle Hamilton goes number 2 overall to the Detroit Lions. But, you know, I know they get locked in with Aiden Hutchinson in almost every mock draft. But when I look at the mock drafts, that's also where some chaos can come in. I've seen them take Malik Willis in some mock drafts. I've seen them take Kyle Hamilton. I think if Detroit goes off script and doesn't take Aiden Hutchinson, that could be more of a draft wrecker than whatever Jacksonville does at number 1 overall.
Did you see who the Athletic mocked to Houston this week?
No, I didn't.
It was Trayvon Walker from University of Georgia, a defensive end that, I mean, prior to the combine, I'd only really seen him mocked 10 to 20. And then this week, NFL.com and The Athletic both had Walker, who knocked it out of the park, to be fair, at the combine at number 3. And I just don't understand how that's possible if, you know, you have multiple years of tape and you say, okay, this guy is a mid-first-round pick and he has a great workout. I don't understand how that was worth 12 spots. Usually I saw him at Baltimore at 14, so 11 spots. But I was really surprised how much I saw Walker mocked to Houston.
Yeah, to me, I don't know that I'd do that. If I'm going to take a defensive end and it's not Thibodeau, I'd rather just, like I said, go with Kyle Hamilton, who I'm inclined to take, even if Walker is there, even if Thibodeau is there, because I feel like that's the chess piece that gives your defense an identity.
Yeah, in that situation, in both of them, both those mocks had Kyle Hamilton going to Detroit, kind of that nightmare scenario we've been talking about with Hutchinson and Hamilton 1-2. But I agree, if Hamilton's on the board, that's the guy. And the consensus is starting to look like what I see on draft Twitter, that Hamilton won't make it past Houston at 3. They need good football players, and everyone's caught up that he might be the best one in the draft.
Yeah, and here's what I wonder is, with number 3 overall, and with Seattle needing a quarterback, and they're pretty close at number 9 now having Denver's pick, do you think that they could really look to leapfrog everybody and try to get number 3 overall to have the first pick of whatever quarterback is the best one in the draft? I mean, is that, what do you think of that scenario?
I'll be honest, I don't think that's on my radar at all for Seattle, and it's just because of Pete Carroll. When you look at Pete Carroll, he really wants to run a pseudo-conservative offense. He wants to play great defense, and he wants field position. That's the game that he cares about. If you go back to that 2020 article in The Athletic about Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll and kind of how their relationship got to the point where Russ was ultimately dealt to Denver this week, it talked about how Pete Carroll took great pride that they had the longest streak without losing by more than 10 points. And that's just not how good coaches are playing football today in 2022. You can't be afraid to be blown out, but that's how Carroll plays. And if Carroll wants a game-managing quarterback, I don't think you need to move up to 3. And in fact, there's no one, I don't even think you'd take in the top 10. It's why I've been so confused at, I understand Seattle has the draft capital, come get Deshaun Watson. But if Carroll wouldn't open up the playbook for Russell Wilson, who he drafted and was very familiar with, I don't understand why he would suddenly change his philosophy for a Deshaun Watson, who is much louder and more publicly critical when he disagrees with his coach. So, I mean, the only quarterback worth coming up to 3-4 is Malik Willis. And I don't, why would you trade Russell Wilson if you're just going to give up the farm that you just received to go get a raw, I mean, more athletic, but he's not winning you games anytime soon, most likely. So I would probably rule out a Seattle trade up. Do you think they would?
No, not when you put it that way. But even so, it's who's behind. Let's say Seattle is interested. It's who's behind Houston. You've got the Jets at 4, and they've already got a quarterback, so they would be open for. You really kind of need to leap Carolina, because everybody above Carolina, it has their quarterback. So Carolina is kind of the problem. And if you can get past them, and like I said, you don't have to go very far to do that. You can just go to the Giants at 5. Like, that's what I'm saying, is Houston's kind of really outside of the range where number 3 is open for business, as much as Nick Caserio says it is, you know, that they'll listen to offers. I feel like it's a little bit just outside, you know?
Yeah, nobody's coming up for a quarterback. And if someone is coming up, since it's not a quarterback, we're likely not getting the guy that we want. Or we're not, my bad, we're likely not getting the trade return that we would anticipate for moving out of a top 3 selection like we've seen historically. This is not the 2021 draft where Miami picked up 2 additional first-round picks so that the Niners could come get Trey Lance. A little disappointing, but who knows? Maybe one of these quarterbacks emerges as the process goes on. Right now, I don't see any of these teams jumping Carolina.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I just, you know, I'd rather jump to number 5. I don't need to jump to get to number 4 or number 3. But in terms of getting jumbled around, that's basically the quarterback market, with Russell Wilson going to Denver and with Aaron Rodgers signing, setting up his contract extension. How do you think this, what does this do to the Deshaun Watson trade market?
Well, I've been thinking about this a lot, and for anyone listening, go check it out on the Texans Wire. I wrote an article today called "The Complete Guide to the Russell Wilson Trade."
Will be at the Texans Wire for the Texans Talk podcast article. I'm linking up all articles that we mentioned throughout the podcast in that article, so we'll have John's article in there. You can find it.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. But I think it does a lot of things for the market. The most immediate thing is that Russell Wilson, he's going to be a Denver Bronco for life. You have to anticipate he's off the market. And what that leaves, especially if Aaron Rodgers signing his 4-year extension, is if you want elite quarterback play in 2022, you will have to trade for Deshaun Watson. I know a lot of teams are hesitant to do that right now, but There's no more options. And that means any call for someone who wants.
All right. Well, joining us now on the Texans Talk podcast is Aaron Wilson from the Pro Football Network. And Aaron has been covering the NFL probably longer than John's been alive. And that makes him a valuable asset when it comes to the quarterback market, everything that's happened the past couple of days. What could happen in the next couple of weeks. Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Sorry for the delay, guys. I've been on the phone a lot.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So that's why I I told John, I said, let's just go ahead and do it at this specific time. And if he joins us, great. But he's a very busy man. Thanks so much, Aaron.
No problem. Yeah, thanks for having me, Mark. Yeah, let's get through all your questions. And I've got a little bit of time here. I can probably do like about 12 to 13 if that works for you.
And we're just talking right now. How does the Russell Wilson trade, even the Carson Wentz trade, the Aaron Rodgers contract, how does this impact the Deshaun Watson trade situation?
Right. Well, in regards to the Denver Broncos, that's a team that never had permission from upper management to pursue Deshaun. They did have an interest in Deshaun, but they're for sale. So for obvious reasons, reputational, that might affect the price of a sale. And, you know, I think they're just sort of averse to any potential bad publicity that comes with acquiring a player that, you know, has been accused of, you know, some misconduct, you know, some serious allegations. Of course, not charged with a crime. As of now, he does head to the grand jury, or the case rather heads to the grand jury, and he heads to his deposition. Different realm, the civil realm, and you know, that's a situation that's different. You know, so that's.
Aaron, I have a follow-up to that. So you said that Denver was never really in the game to acquire Deshaun Watson, but does the trade package that they paid for Russell Wilson, how do you think that affects what Deshaun Watson can ultimately get on the open market?
Is that something that
Houston fans should feel optimistic
if not charged
about?
With a crime, right?
I mean, it's a huge because package that's at a face big value.
I think everyone's got to remember that that's a problem if he gets charged, you know. You know, I think that's.
So do you think he would get more or less than
they
Russell
call that
Wilson?
A bill, they call that
Friday,
no bill.
What if the grand jury said
when you
we
get
will not
indicted, they call that a true bill. So it's kind of a yes or no type situation. You have to have 9 of 12 to reach an indictment. Indictments are for felonies. You can also be directly charged if the DA chooses to with a misdemeanor. That's not done by a vote. That's just the DA's judgment call on whether they think that they have enough to file something. So that, I mean, I don't know yet, you know, I would imagine with him being younger and a little more dynamic at this point than Russell. Yes, absolutely possible. But I just wouldn't get your hopes up. You know, Russell is not dealing with the allegations that, you know, Deshaun is. So that's, you know, Russell's a player with no off-field issues, and Deshaun's facing a major off-field issue. The fact that Deshaun, that as many teams are involved and interested and willing to offer things, is a huge compliment to the type of football player he is, guys. That's just outstanding for in terms of the what kind of ball player he is. But, yeah, I mean, you got to deal with the case.
When do you expect the Watson situation to get resolved?
You know, I predict a lot when it comes to football games, right? It's really hard for me to accurately predict the court system when I'm not a court reporter, and even those that cover the court system or lawyers like a Rusty Harden, they can't predict exactly how the, you know, wheels of justice are going to turn. When you think about the case, there is no DNA audio or video evidence, I'm told, by law enforcement. But you have witness testimony, and what does that mean? If, you know, one of the, you know, complainants, if they get up there in court and they say, you know, he did this and this, and they sound convincing, then isn't that could be enough? That's really how this works. It's a he said, she said, plural. And that's what, you know, he's facing. So you're going to have 8 of Tony Busby's clients that are litigants. They're going to go up there and they're subpoenaed. That doesn't mean all of them will be heard. And then he'll take the Fifth Amendment. So that won't, you know, add anything to the criminal case because he's not going to give any answers. He's just going to take the Fifth to all questions, probably other than what's your name and where are you from, that type of thing. But yeah, I would say this is all in the hands of the grand jury. That's a secret proceeding, guys. So for me to say very authoritatively, I know how it's going to go. I know what it looks like. I'm repeating what I've been told by lawyers. And I would say, you know, I might know a little more just because I've done a lot of work on this. But for me to accurately say, I know exactly how it's going to go and this is what's going to happen, no. I'd just be being presumptuous. I don't know exactly how it will go. It's just a really big day on Friday, and the whole league's monitoring it.
So to bring it back to football and back more specifically to Russell Wilson, one more follow-up question on that would be, what was the league perception of the return that Seattle got? Yeah,
especially with you got divorced, basically, with Seattle and Russell. They did fine. It gives them a lot of ammunition. It was a good trade. I think it's fair. He's not 28 years old anymore either. He's not coming off a very good year. I think it was a good trade.
With the Seahawks having an opening at quarterback, do you think that they'll try to jump up to number 3 overall and maybe get ahead of Carolina?
I'm not sure if they're going to try to wheel and deal or not. It's just, you know, I think that kind of stuff happens like as we get more into April. And, you know, when you think about this quarterback class, how motivating is that? It's not very, you know, the guys that you move up for, they play what positions? They're pass rushers or offensive linemen. But there's lots of them. So really, should you move up? That's debatable. Whoever you move up for, they better be really special. Because there's comparable players at a lot of these positions. You think about how good the Mississippi State offensive tackle is, and then he could just fall right to the New York Giants or another team. That's awesome. I mean, that guy is really good. Cross, they're a bunch of good offensive linemen. The Tulsa offensive linemen is good. There's a lot of guys. I mean, I'm hearing about some first-round buzz on him. Look for the tackles and the pass rushers to fly off the board. And look for the quarterbacks, except for probably Malik Willis or Pickett. They're going to have to wait.
On that same note of talking about Seattle, there's been a lot of speculation that they could enter the Watson sweepstakes themselves. To me personally, that feels puzzling when you look at who Pete Carroll is as a coach, how he runs his football team. Why do you think there's that noise there when Pete doesn't necessarily want to run the kind of offense that a dynamic guy like Watson invites?
Right. I would disagree there. You know, I have firsthand knowledge that the Seahawks are extremely interested in exploring Deshaun Watson trade scenarios. And they have a high level of interest in this quarterback, this particular quarterback. And I've heard that from multiple sources around the league with direct knowledge of Seattle's thinking. I would expect them to be involved in this, especially if he is not charged with a crime. And the Carolina Panthers are very interested in this. And they've been interested for over a year. Their owner, David Tepper, he's given them the green light. I expect Carolina to be in the thick of this thing too. Those are the two most interested teams right now.
With regards to the Texans and free agency coming up, they've got about mid-range in terms of salary cap space. Do you expect them to be conservative and keep their own guys, or will they make any splashes?
I think they'll keep some of their own guys, and I think that they will maybe make one splash. I don't think it's going to be as big as you guys might consider like a splash. Like, I don't think like J.C. Jackson type of splash, but you know, they'll probably try to add an edge rusher. They'll probably try to add a corner, but you know, they're going to be under, you know, something of a budget. I don't think there'll be players you've heard of though. At some point they'll, you know, there'll be guys that make sense and that fill a need. And, you know, as you guys know, they informed Terrence Mitchell that he's been going to be released. So they moved on from him. And so they'll be looking for a corner. And maybe Desmond King comes back. Maybe Malik Collins comes back. Maybe Kamar Grugier-Hill comes back. Maybe Christian Kirksey. So they're going to do a few things. Vincent Taylor is a candidate to come back. So you'll have some re-signings and you'll have some outside guys, like every year.
Yeah, and that's what I feel like they're going to try to do. is keep some of the guys who progressed, because I think it was, yeah, it was. It was Lovie Smith. He said that Malik Collins is just hit the tip of the iceberg in his potential.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, I think with Malik, you know, he cut down on the penalties a little bit, you know, and I think he can make more plays. You put more guys around him, you continue to build the defensive line, and you've got something there. It's just a matter of understanding, guys, that this is a team that in 2023, it's like the next step. You're, you know, kind of building, like if last year was building the foundation, you're building a few more stairs on top of the foundation or first floor or whatever, or your basement, to use these bad construction analogies. I probably, you know, at least I'm not doing my, yeah, at least I'm not using the Google that analogies like Nick, cause Sarah, you guys get, we'll ding him a little bit for the Google and the Microsoft, whatever. But my point about not talking using the Wall Street analogies, they're not really going to be 2022 that contending team in all likelihood. It's about setting themselves up for 2023, building through the draft. That's the really important part. But you got to have kind of a team, right? So you got to sign some guys. And I think they're at like, after cutting Mitchell, like 48 players under contract. So you got about 42 to go, 9 draft picks, a lot of undrafteds, free agent signings, re-signings. All of a sudden, you're at 90 guys. So Nick's got, you know, about 42 spots to fill. And 9 of them will be picks if he doesn't get more picks. So what does that leave you? Unless you make the Deshaun trade, then you got even more picks. So you're going to have to sign some free agents, get to fill some holes.
Okay, as we wrap up with Aaron Wilson here on the Texans Talk podcast, I want to leave on just a fun note. Aaron, when you go on a road trip, what's the one restaurant that you look forward to every season?
Oh, with road trips? There's a restaurant in Annapolis that I like. It's, you know, probably expect me to say St. Elmo's, but it's not really St. Elmo's. There's an Italian restaurant called Nesso that I like to always go to. When I'm in Nashville, I like a place called The Southern. And also, when I've been to L.A., I've liked Ketch and Avra, but we don't get a lot of L.A. trips, right? But I like those two. When I went to Miami this year, I went to a nice place called Novikov. It was a Russian restaurant. That was very good. It's a Russian-Asian fusion. And I remember the name of the Italian restaurant I went to. I think Il Gabbiano. Yeah, it was Italian. That was really great.
So that's what you like, the Italian cuisine, when you go to the other cities?
I really like those. Yeah, those are great. Those are awesome. I like to go to the Italian restaurants or sometimes, you know, like a steakhouse. There's another one in Nashville I like. Nashville's got great food. Cane Prime. That's a nice one in Nashville. And I went to Eddie V's, but they have that here. But last time I was in Nashville, I went to Eddie V's. I didn't make it to Hattie B's Hot Chicken. I actually tried that when I was in Vegas on the way back from the 49ers game. So that was good to try. And I thought I can really see the appeal of that. I think that's coming to Houston too. But yeah, I mean, that's part of the fun of a trip, right? Getting to go to restaurants. So like when I was in New York for Jets versus Texans, I went to SDK. Actually, it was the first time my parents drove up from D.C. and they got to meet Shannon, my now wife. But that was the time when we just started dating. And so it was their chance to, you know, to meet her. And then later we got engaged and got married a couple years ago. But yeah, it's fun to travel. I think obviously it's a business trip, but you usually have time for a meal.
Exactly. And everybody's got time to follow Aaron Wilson on Twitter. Where can they do that at?
I am on Twitter at @AaronWilson_NFL, and I'm on Instagram at AaronWilson7128. Thank you.
And you can follow his work at ProFootballNetwork.com. He's always got the inside information, and we really love having him. He's an ally on the Texans Talk podcast and at the Texans Wire. So, Aaron, thanks for being on with us
tonight. Thank you for having me, guys.
All right, and there he goes, Aaron Wilson from the Pro Football Network. And with that being said, we'll go ahead and sign off. You've been listening to the Texans Talk Podcast. Where can they follow you, John?
You guys can follow me at Texans Doc. Stay tuned. It's looking like a very eventful offseason for Houston.
Yes, and in the positive way for once. You can follow me on Twitter at The Real Mark Lane. You can follow the Texans Wire on Twitter at The Texans Wire. You've been listening to the Texans Talk Podcast. Check us out on Apple, TuneIn, and Spotify, and Stitcher.